I'm Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And this
is the Eshcast.
This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 447. Everything is cute and innocent until murder happens.
Electric Sisterhood, home of the best.
The fucking best.
Your gaming tech gadget and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I am Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hi.
How you doing?
Great.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you positive?
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
Yes. Hey.
Yes.
Hey. Listen. By the way, I have the place that you got your panda pew 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 shirt.
Oh my god.
Turtle tea or something like
that? Yeah.
Tea turtle? I don't know. I can't remember. But I saw a link throw by my feed on Facebook. I'm like, oh, that's a cute shirt. So then I went and looked. I want all the shirts.
I know.
You know how I feel
honestly,
about nerd shirts.
And honestly, a friend of mine saw the shirt first and then linked it on my Facebook. And I said, oh my god, someone who loves me should give me this shirt.
I remember, I saw that, remember, Facebook makes sure I see everything that you post anytime.
And then I got anywhere. The shirt, and like, it completely captures my essence.
It does, in fact, capture
especially
essence
when I'm
really
playing
well.
Splatoon.
But have you seen the other shirts that are on the website? Like,
yeah,
I want
one,
all
it
the
has
shirts.
All these pink, like, all these characters that are pink. It's like, on Wednesdays, where we wear pink, and it's like Kirby, and like Ditto from Pokemon. And, like, very cute shirts.
I need to own all of the shirts that are there. There was a Mega Man and Samus shirt where Mega Man has dropped his jaw and his laser gun is discharging on the ground because he's looking and Samus has taken off her helmet and realizes that, oh, my God, Samus is, like, a knockout. And
of
just
course.
Like, yeah.
Well, I mean, I don't know if you've seen my other panda shirts that have, like, pandas and tanukis
I've
on
seen
them.
All your panda shirts. You've made sure I've seen all your panda shirts. Yeah, I'm just saying that I'm kind of in love with the site, and I need to own every shirt that's on the site, and that's a bad place to be in.
Yes, it is. So calm it down.
Yeah, I'm calming it down, but I'm just saying there are quite a few shirts on that website that I want. You know how I feel about gaming t-shirts, especially ones that have a sense of humor.
Yes.
There was, one that was a Star Wars play on gaming, and it was with Link, and it just said the, and had a Triforce, is strong with this one. And it had Link, instead of holding the Master Sword, holding a lightsaber, and I was like, I'm okay with everything that is going on with this shirt right now. So, we'll dig up a link, we'll include it in the notes.
Anyway.
But I want all those shirts. Can't has them, but you know, if anybody wants to hook me up with a shirt, like, let me know. I'll tell you what my size is. I like presents.
I like presents.
Who doesn't like presents? Nobody. Nope. Everybody likes presents. Now that that little segue is done on nerdy shirts and things of a nerdy nature, let's talk about some other geeky, awesome stuff. We got some game stuff to talk about today. We got some anime stuff to talk about today. We got so much stuff to talk about. It's like so cool. It's a good time. Beautiful weather. Let's jump right into it.
Cool. I'm ready.
All right. I want to go first.
All right. Fine.
I want to talk about my Astro A38 headset that, thanks to the team at Astro and Skull Candy for sending out a review unit for me to play around with. As you guys know, we are typically big fans of Astro. Here at the Land of Esh.
As we like to say, we're the unofficial official.
No, they're the unofficial official headset sponsor of the Electric Sisterhood. Anytime they want to sponsor our podcast, we're down for it, for sure. But they were gracious enough to send us out a couple of units to kick the tires on, try out, and share our honest opinions of how they work and how they don't work for us. And so I've mentioned before that I have a set of Astro A50 headsets, which are wireless headsets that I use primarily with my Xbox 360 and my PlayStation 4. I have not used them a whole lot with my Xbox One, mostly because I haven't gotten the cable yet that I need to do voice chat, because there's an additional cable that I have to connect in order to do voice chat on the Xbox One. And in all honesty, I haven't been doing a heck of a lot of multiplayer on the Xbox One, so I really haven't had a need for using a headset over there yet. I imagine this fall, that's going to change dramatically. So the A38s are, surprising guys, not a gaming headset. They are a lifestyle headset. So the A38s are Astro's entry into more of the lifestyle setting, people on the go. So okay. These guys are not designed to work with your consoles. They are a Bluetooth headset. If you're familiar with the Astro line, they are their smaller on-ear, not over-ear, headset. They're about the size of the A30s, which are the smaller cup headset. They are a lighter plastic band across the head. Very, very comfortable. And even though they're Bluetooth, they're super, super light. I've worn mine, I think the longest that I've gone in one session is about 4.5 hours and had no pain, no pinching feeling at all with the headset, which is a really great place to be when you're doing marathons. But these headsets are designed to be for people on the go. So this is the wireless Bluetooth headset that you use when you're on transit, when you're traveling. You pair it to your phone or your smart device. You pair it to your laptop, and you have some really great sound on your headset. It does have a built-in microphone, so you can use it to do conference calls, as well as video chat, audio chat on your laptop, using it as a replacement for your single ear Bluetooth for your smartphone. It has a lot of uses. I've primarily been using mine in 3 different places to really get a good sense of how good the headset works for different situations and different types of audio that you're pushing through it. So I've been playing with them for the last 2 weeks, using them at my day job, synced up to my laptop to play music and to listen to audio for video during the day. So I'm sampling a lot of things because my day job, I work in social media. So there's a lot of AV content that I look at. When I'm creating content, I also spend a lot of time in Photoshop and in Illustrator, so I gotta have a really kick-ass playlist going to keep my creativity up. So I listen to a lot of music throughout the day there. I also use them to do all of my conference calls that I was running from my cell phone when I was working out of the office. So they traveled with me everywhere in their case, which is a little bit bulky, but because they're a big, I shouldn't say big, but they are a substantial headset that you do want a good sturdy case that will provide some protection when it's going in and out of bags. So the case that it has to carry it is very durable, but it is a little bulky, so you're not just going to throw it easily in a small bag. You need to kind of prepare for taking it around, but it travels really easily. I love the fact that it is wireless. I also used it paired just directly to my smartphone to listen to music while I was walking around to different places. I also used it, frankly, just to do some podcasting type things. One is a test that didn't work out exactly the way that I wanted it to. Oh. And that was my error, not anything wrong with the headset. I did not set things up appropriately because I didn't check my settings before I jumped in. But I've also used them as the monitoring headset that I use when recording this podcast for the last couple of weeks. So I've run the gamut of various different ways that you can use the headset. So what do I think about the headset?
What do you think?
Previously, before using the A38s, the headset that was my go-to traveler around for most of the things that I just ran through were a set of Beats by Dre headphones. like I said, I love music. I love bass heavy stuff. Very, very, very fond of big beat, hip hop, deep house, EDM. So I need a headset that can deliver on that sound. Going through from a Beats headset that I perfectly set up to close in sound around my ear to go to the A38s was a little bit of a change, because the A38s don't produce the same kind of bass that the Beats by Dre headsets produce, but they're not supposed to, because that's not what they're trying to compete with. They want to be a really good, balanced, all-around, great headset for your lifestyle stuff, where the Beats by Dre stuff is directly engineered to deliver ridiculously rich sounding bass. So it's not fair to compare the two on that. So I tried to just compare them as far as what I was moving from and moving to. How did it feel for long wear? How did it do for audio quality? Both who I was talking to and my quality coming through, those types of things. And I have to say the A38s are a really solid headset for that. I had no one complain about being able to hear me or having any difficulty hearing me on any of the conference calls that I used it for. And again, it has a built-in mic. It is not a boom mic. It is actually built into the bottom of the ear. So it would be very easy to have sound not accurately or easily captured a lot if your cups don't sit low enough to capture that. But I never had any issues with that whatsoever. And I think a total of like 15 different phone calls in the 2 weeks using just the A38s as my mic and my listening apparatus on those. Completely clear audio quality, because they do some noise canceling. It's not a complete noise cancel. So it doesn't block the world out like the Beats by Dre noise canceling headphones or the Bose noise canceling headphones. But when you put them on, because they are a powered headphone, they do produce some white noise. So you do get a much clearer sound directly to your head and what you're listening to. But you're not completely oblivious to the world around you, which is great when you think about what the headset's designed to be used for. You know, if you're walking around the city, you want to be able to hear people honking, all the noises around you, so that you don't get in an accident. So the fact that it lets some sound bleed through is a very good thing. And it's very balanced in what you hear and what you don't hear around you. So very happy with the quality of using it for conference calls. Also pretty doggone happy with using it to listen to music on my laptop as well as my smartphone. I paired the headset to both of my devices, and it didn't have any issue switching back and forth as far as connecting goes from one device to the other.
Or sound on one over the other, or do they both kind of...
No, they're both fairly equal. You know, you have some more controls over your audio as how it sounds on your computer, just because depending upon what you're listening to on your computer, it has independent volume controls there. So you have one level of volume control on your software, and then you have the other level that's actually on the headset itself. Same thing with the phone. I have both a Macintosh and a iPhone, and I'll be honest, I think that it was very difficult for me to tell really a difference between the two, other than I can get a little bit louder sound from my laptop. And that's just, again, because I have more controls for audio on my laptop. I have various things that have their own independent EQ settings and things like that. So I was just able to engineer a better sound coming out of my laptop. But there was no lag, no latency switching back and forth between the two, which is great, because sometimes when you're disconnecting Bluetooth from one device and connecting to another, you could be waiting for a few minutes before connections are terminated and reestablished, and it was just in a hot second. I'd be like, connect to my laptop, and it'd be like, ba-doop, and would play the noise in the cup, and I would know that it was connected, and I was off to the races and running. I will say that for listening to music for long periods of time, I will say that my A38s are more comfortable on my head than my Beats headphones for long-lasting wear. Basically, at about the three-hour mark, the Beats started to feel heavy.
Okay.
They didn't pinch, but they started to feel heavy. And again, it's because it's a over-the-ear cup on the Beats headphones because I had the Pros, but they become very, very heavy. And so, as an example, now having the A38s in my life, the next time that I travel on a plane, these will be the headset that I take, the A38s by Astro, versus my Beats headphones. Even though my Beats knock out more ambient noise, one of the things that I could definitely do with the A38s that I cannot do with the Beats headphones is actually sleep with the headphones on. Because they are an on-ear and not over-the-ear, and they're a lighter set, I actually have the ability to curl up with them. I've actually fallen asleep with the A38s on my head on my couch during my test run of them these last 2 weeks, but they are very comfortable headsets, so it's very easy to rest your head and not feel like the cup is digging into your head, which that's one of the things that happens with the Beats, is that, you know, you can't really rest anywhere because they're such a big cup, and if you turn your head certain ways because of the stringent band that they have, it'll just knock one of the cups off your other ear. You don't have that problem with the A38s. So they definitely have been geared very well for lifestyle. They're easy to use on the go. It's very easy to set up. It's pretty decent battery life. I ran the set for about 6.5 hours nonstop before I started getting the tone that was letting me know that the batteries were getting low and I needed to plug it in to recharge, because it does have a rechargeable battery, so it's USB powered. And you can use the headset while it's plugged into USB, but it just makes you tethered to your device.
That's your USB'd into.
Correct. If you're charging it through your laptop, because I was mostly charging it through my laptop so I could continue listening to my fat Beats while creating my gorgeous, gorgeous creative things. But ultimately, I'm pretty happy with it. It's very clear sound. The bass that it does have is good bass. It's not overwhelming bass, it's but not, you can not definitely...
the best bass.
It's, I'm not saying about best, because everybody has different degrees of what best is for them. There are some people who don't like a lot of bass. So when they have a headset that is very clear, and, you know, you can tell that there are low tones there, but it's not overwhelming thumping in your head, that's good bass to them, or great bass to them. To me, I like a good rockin' bass. Like, if I'm listening to Jay-Z, or if I'm listening to Swedish House Mafia, I'm listening to those things because I really want to be rocked to my core, and so I want that thump. And these guys have a good bump. They don't have thump, they have a really good bump. And if you're on the go, that's really all you need. They're a very good headset for that. I think that, you know, their price point isn't bad. They're $200. And when you consider that you're getting a wireless, rechargeable Bluetooth headset that delivers phenomenal sound straight to your head, it's actually not a bad deal, considering that most of your Bluetooth headsets are around the 150 range. So it's really not out that far out of its range, and it's multi-purpose. Again, like I said, I've been using it for conference calls, listening to music. I've watched a couple of movies on my laptop with them. Really great sound for movie watching. So again, another good reason that they'll be a great headset to travel with. If I'm watching movies on a plane, they're a really, really phenomenal headset for that. You have controls for various things built right onto the cup, which is something that Astro does a lot with their headsets, and I love the placement of these buttons. So on your left cup, you have your power button and you have your multifunction control. So if you're listening to music, this will let you skip tracks or pause tracks directly from the cup with a single touch. And there's a nice indentation on both the power button and the multifunction control button, so you know which one you're touching, just by where the indentation is. So I can now, without even having to take the headset off to look and be like, oh yeah, it's over there in that spot, I can go right to it and hit the side to skip tracks or to pause a track, which is really nice. You have the ability to mute your mic. So if, for whatever reason, like I'm on a conference call, and it's faster for me to actually reach to the bottom of my cup and flip the switch to mute the mic versus trying to get to my phone and unlock it to do so, I can do that. So that's a nice touch to have on the headset. And then on the right cups are your controls for audio. So you have your volume up and down right on the back of the ear cup. So it's very easy just to reach up and tap to raise volume or lower volume or things like that. Super, super easy to work with. So all in all, I gotta say, if you're in the market for a new stereo Bluetooth headset and you're looking for something that's going to give you really good quality audio and it's going to be something that you can wear all day long, day in, day out, you really, really, really should consider the Astro set, especially if you were considering something in the high dollar range like a Beats set or like a Bose set. So if you're looking, especially if you're looking at that high dollar range set, if you were considering getting a set of Beats by Dre or a set of Bose headphones, I would highly, highly recommend that you take a look at the A38s from Astro. They're just a really easy set to get along with, and because they're wireless, they're very easy to, you know, pull off your head and rest around your neck because the cups fold horizontally, so they can lay flat on your chest. A lot of times when I would get called into a meeting at work when I was using them, I would simply pause the music on the cup and take the headphones and just wrap them around my neck and lay the cups flat. So I didn't have to take them all the way off and put them on my desk, and I would just walk around with them. And they're so light that at times I forgot that I was even wearing them around my neck until I was like, oh, I'm ready to listen to music. And I'd go and look for the travel case that comes with them.
And they'd be on your neck.
And they'd be on my neck, you know. And so it's almost like, where are my glasses? Oh, they're right here.
Oh, they're on my face.
Yeah, that. And I like having that feeling with a headset. I don't want something that is obtrusive. You know, if I can get great sound from something light, then I'm a happy camper, and I'm a very happy camper with the A38s. I think the only thing that I would like is maybe some controls that I could get a little bit better sounding bass out of them. Just a little bit, again, because I prefer the thump to the bump, but it's a really good bump. I was listening to Rihanna, the Bitch Better Have My Money, and I was right there with it. So it works. It works. They're really, really solid headset, and I'm glad that I got the chance to play around with them. It makes me kind of wish that my A50s could be as mobile.
Well, I mean, as my A38s. I've used your A50s when I've like come over and hung out, and I mean, I love the fact that they're wireless and you can like kind of walk around, but they are heavy because all of the tech is inside of the can.
Yes, they are heavy. They heavy are heavy. Set.
So I mean,
but man, hours, oh man, like, do they sound?
You get tension headaches. But, I mean, granted, to make them wireless and to give you all those functionalities, they had
to come. You gotta have a place to put all that tech. And it's not like they're, like, 5 pound heavy, but for marathoning, like, you do feel the weight of the headset after about the 3 hour mark with the A50s. And like I said, the longest that I've gone with the A38s right now has been about 4.5 hours and have felt none of that weight fatigue, if you will. So they're balanced. They are built for lifestyle, and man, oh man, they do it really, really well. So, again, if you're in the market for them, go to astrogaming.com, take a look at them. The fact that you can do customizable tags for these guys, I also think is a really great thing. I will be making some custom tags that will be more than likely Esh-flavored because these are probably going to be the headsets that you see me with, guys, out at shows. More than likely, every place that we travel, PAX, E3, any summits that I go to, these will probably be the headsets that you see draped around my neck all the time. So, you know, I got to represent for Esh when that happens. So yeah. I will definitely be building tags. And I think that's one thing that I miss from the A50s, because you can't do custom tags with them, that you had with the A40s, which I loved doing the tags that I created for the A40s. So I'm looking forward to making some custom tags for the A38s. I think that personalization, it's just another thing that makes it feel like this is my set, this is my thing. It's not like anybody else's thing. Even though they bought the same base because the tags are different, these ones are mine, and they're cooler because they're my creation. And I like that added on to just the way that the control mechanics work on the cup, the weight, how great these guys feel after a long, long period of time of wear, battery life is really great. And again, that switching back and forth between my laptop and between working with my phone, and that's not turning Bluetooth off on either of my devices at any time, which means they were constantly pinging the headphones and not turning the headphones off either at any point in the time in the 4.5 hours. So at some point, I am going to do a long run to see just how long after a full charge the batteries will last. I have a feeling that you probably can get a good 7 to 8 hour day run using these guys without turning them off, just based off of how long it took me to have to get the notification that I needed to charge the headset after doing my 4.5 hour day. So, because I would say, I think on average, for the 2 weeks that I've been testing these really hard, I've only charged them twice.
Wow.
And I've used them every day for varying periods of time every day. But I've only gotten the sound of like, hey, you should charge me up because the battery's running low twice. So they're a pretty good long-lasting battery. And it's probably because they don't thump, they bump. I'm going to guess. But anyway, I love them. I absolutely love the A38s, and you probably won't see me out in public rocking anything else other than those. I've retired my Beats headphones.
Okay.
That's how good the A38s are.
Wow.
My limited edition Beats Pro have gone back. I actually gave them to my husband to use because he finally broke his Sony headset. So it took over a decade. But they finally gave up the ghost. So he's going to be using those moving forward. But astrogaming.com, check out the A38s if you're looking for a good lifestyle headset. So something that you can watch movies with when you travel and listen to music on the go and have one less wire. Like, frankly, I think that these would probably be a really good headset to work out with, especially if you're doing a lot of cardio, so a lot of running. I don't know that I would do any machines where I was doing any kind of sit-ups or presses with these, just because I think like a hard jolt, because they're wireless and because they don't vice grip your head, they might come flying off. I don't know, because I don't really use those machines, but that would be my guess, just with the base understanding of how physics works. But I think if you're running, doing elliptical, doing a cycle, like these would be the best headset you could probably use with that, because you'll get good sound, you could still hear everything around you going on, and it's wireless, so it's one less wire you have to worry about getting caught up between you and the machine.
And I mean, and if you're looking for a gaming headset, if you are a little more patient with me, Wednesday on our site, I will have my review of the A40s, this generation's A40s, up on our site for your reading pleasure.
Education. It's infotainment.
Infotainment.
Boing. The more you know. So yeah, so that's what I have to say about the A38s from Astro. Definitely check them out. I mean, I got some other stuff to talk about, but I know that you got some stuff to talk about too, Panda.
I do.
What you want to talk about, girl?
All right, guys. Well, I need to get something off of my panda chest here.
Oh no, here we go.
I'm not talking about Final Fantasy 13, so calm down.
Okay.
And it's not really a rant, as more of a retrospective, introspective, spective into my psyche type of thing.
I mean, I don't know that we should really go into your psyche. I don't know that
it's like Inception. If you get lost in limbo, you're fucked.
Yeah.
Do not get lost in my limbo in my brain, because you'll.
So I feel like we shouldn't.
Anyway. I've been watching a lot of anime lately and playing some games too, but they all seem to have some type of anime foundation to them, at least the games I've been playing. And I just, there's this big fascination with character types in females, tropes even.
Yes. And they've
been very prevalent lately. Like the whole tsundere explosion, where everyone and their mother were tsundere, and we had people being really kind of rude and cold, but then
legitimately everybody and their mother being tsundere. If you haven't watched World Trigger yet.
I haven't watched World Trigger
yet. You need to.
But literally, like, and I never really kind of understood the trope. But there was that big boom with that, and everyone and their mom were tsundere. And, like, I didn't look it up then because I just wasn't having it. I'm like, you guys are really taking the fun out of anime for me. You guys are really going on the side of the bell curve of anime appreciation that I do not tread in. Like, I'm not an extremist when it comes to my anime. I'm an old school otaku in the sense that I appreciate the older stuff. It takes me a while to get into newer things, you know, but when I do appreciate them and all that type of stuff. So after that died down, I'm like, okay, great. We could probably get back to the basics. And now there's this uprising of people who are all about the yandere's. And I didn't know, like, I knew what tsundere was, you know, as soon as I watched, what was that anime? Like, the Dance of the Vampire Bund. I think that main character is kind of tsundere.
Every character in Dance of the Vampire Bund is tsundere. Every female character in...
Every character who's all like, oh, you're a baka and you don't understand anything, but then went home and cried in their pillow because they were... And I'm like, oh, okay. Like, I got that. And eerily enough, going way out of the anime spectrum, Hey Arnold, Helga, totally tsundere. But anyway, totally going back onto my path here. But yandere's are kind of a big thing right now, and I did some research on exactly what yandere's are, and I mean, granted, I mean, if you've watched Future Diary, then you have...
And I have.
And I'm just talking to everybody, but if you've watched that, then you've seen a yandere in full blossom in Yuno, because Yuno is fucking crazy, and literally, like, love-obsessed with Yuki. And I just thought she was just deranged. And that's what I thought yandere was. But it is and it isn't. So actually, yandere comes from the combination of two different words in Japanese. One, yandere, which means, like, sick. And dere, which is, like, cuddly and, like, lovey. And when you put them together, it is someone who is so obsessively in love with someone or something that they will become psychotic and extremely violent if situations concerning that object of affection and obsession is denied to them. Which is, you know, like, open and shut in Future Diary. The minute Yuki even looked at another girl, oh, you like her? Let me stab her in the face right quick. Because I can't have you looking at other bitches but me. Just look at me, okay? And then everything's fine, all right? Just don't look at other people, ever. And, like, it's kind of scary because in real life we would never want that kind of person in our life. But in the safety of anime, people are, like, all about that. And I don't understand. So I decided to put myself into two games where the focus was... In one, you are the actual yandere character, and you are exacting revenge on everyone who senpai is looking at, or even walks by. And then the other game, you're actually the love interest of these two girls who you can, one you know is competing for you, and the other one is not really saying much about it, but you clearly know. And so that plays out horrifically. As you could probably surmise.
Yeah, that's not going to end nicely.
No, and it doesn't. And I'll talk about that game first, because that one is more of a full flush game. The other one I was just talking about is called Yandere Simulator, and it's still in its pretty much alpha-y phase. Like, there are some playable betas and stuff that they are letting people play in when they fix bugs and they implement something new, but it's not fully fleshed out what you're doing in that yet. So I'll talk about the other game first, which is called Yanderella. And literally in Yanderella, you are this main character. You're this blonde hikamori boy, Yotaru. And you are friends with two girls. One Hinata and one Honoka. And Hinata is, like, sweet and girly and wears a white dress and has blue hair. And she's very lovey, like, cuddly and whatever, and Honoka is more of, like, the tomboy next door who is always by your side even though you, like, don't really talk to her. But she's not, like, oppressively in your face, but she's just always around. And Hinata gets forced to move to Tokyo with her parents, so she's no longer really a part of your life. And You separate when you're all little kids, and one day Hinata comes back to your town, and you and Honoka pick her up from the station. It seems all well and good, childhood friends back together, but you got two girls, one boy, we're all like in our teenage years, feelings are probably happening, and every time Hinata is not with you, and Hinata's all up in your face, like, you could do whatever you want to me. Because you're my prince. And, like, already, like, in that sweet way, though, so you don't think she's going to get all crazy on you. But then you, and you go through, because there are 4 days in the story.
Are we talking, like, school days crazy on you?
Well, here's the thing. So, like, it doesn't happen early on in the game, but school day shit, totally. And that girl in school days who chopped off that dude's head, total yandere. Total yandere. But anyway, I digress. Moving back to Yanderella. So the game really only has three endings. There's one bad ending and two true endings, depending on whose route or which girl you decide you're going to pursue. And there are 4 days in total. And the funny thing is that I think the whatever the character is for four in Japanese is also related to death somehow. And I'm trying to remember. I don't remember what exactly it's called. But on the fourth day, like, literally the four is, like, dripping blood, so you know something crazy is about to happen. Because everything else seems all light and eerie until all of a sudden day four pops up, and you're like, what the fuck's going on? But needless to say, on the third night, you're all at a fair, and there's this crane game with the stuffed animal that Hinata, the sweet, innocent, non-tomboy, is like, oh, I really want it, I really want it. And she's trying for it, and she can't get it. And Honoka's all like, I'm not really into cute things, but I could even try to get it. And, like, she doesn't get it. But your character, because, you know, this is the plot, manages to get this stuffed bunny. And you have the choice to give it to either girl. And of all the choices that you have in the game, because, you know, depending on which way you're going, you should be having conversations with these other girls when the other one isn't around. None of those conversations really build up to what flips or tilts the game. It's this decision on who gets the stuffed animal that really opens up the endings, which I didn't understand because in most games where consequence, you know, is built up on your actions, you kind of need more than one. You need one really big thing, but other things should be building up to that big thing. So you can't be talking to girl A and then give the bunny to girl B and then not expect some issue. But in this game, none of that really matters. You could be talking up girl A and then give the bunny to girl B, and then you're going to get the girl B ending, even though you haven't been romancing her since the start. So, okay. Like, it's a little faulty why there's so much weight on this one decision. But I didn't make the game, so, you know, you do you, maker of the game. But anyway, at this point, you have the choice to give it to Honoka, who is the tomboy, or Hinata, the sweet one. And in the playthrough that I played, because I snuck and downloaded it onto my boyfriend's computer, and he has no idea that I put it there, but I made sure.
Good thing he doesn't listen to this podcast.
I know. So I made sure to do all three of the paths, or, you know, just get the full flesh of the story. And so the first time I went for the sweet, innocent little one, because from the bat, she's pretty much like, you made a promise when we were kids that you'd marry me. And I'm like, all right, well, if I made this promise, I'm a good man. I'm going to hold up to it. And so I decided to give her the stuffed animal. And, like, we go about our business. I bring her back to our house. And as soon as that happens, all of a sudden my screen goes black. It starts flashing red. And there's, like, this off-colored, like, character talking, like, oh, God, if she wasn't here, he would have given it to me. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Something's going to happen to me or to her or both of us at the same, like, shit's going down. And sure enough, the next day, my parents are out of town. I bring my little honey boo to my room. Mm-hmm. I'm getting all down and nasty. And they let me strip tease her down, like, to her panties. And I'm like, oh, my God, am I going to be able to see some boobs before I die? Because, I mean, I know what's coming. Yataro doesn't know, but I know. Like, so I hope he gets to see some boobs before this goes down. And sure enough, the minute you choose to remove either of those articles of clothing, the screen goes black and you hear some slashing sounds and some what sounds like water being splashed everywhere. But you currently know that that's not what's
going on. You know it's not water.
And when you come to, the other girl, Hinoka, is standing there. And she's like, you've been asleep this whole time, silly Willy. And like, I'm like, there's no way this could be a dream. Don't St. Elmo's fire me right now. Don't you effing do that to me. And I'm like, maybe it was. Maybe it was. And she's like, we're going to be late. You promised to go on a date with me. And I'm like, all right, well, let me try to go to get up. But first I want to get like some smooches in. And my character moves in to kiss her. And in the corner of his eye, he sees this box on the floor that is like soaking in blood. Like blood is soaking from the inside out. And like, I had the option in the conversation to like say, hey, what's in that box? Or like, let's go on the date. And me being an idiot is like, what's in the box?
No. Yeah. No, you never ask, what's in the box?
They totally pulled a Seven, if you've ever seen the movie Seven. What's in the box? What's in the box? And I'm like, aw, shit. And of course, then the girl proceeds to tell me that there's something she really hates inside the box, but it doesn't move anymore because she handled it. I'm like, aw, shit, she killed my girlfriend. I didn't even get to see her boobies. And like, and then I try to move, and I find out I'm completely, like, tied to this bed. Because, like, I was about to get it in. And I ain't getting it in now. And she's like, you know, if you just decided to give me this stuffed animal, like, this would have been fine. You caused this. It's all your fault. And all of a sudden, she takes out these huge scissors, and she pulls down my pants and my underpants.
Mm-mm.
And she chops off my Johnson.
No!
Yeah. And literally the whole time she's like, this will ingrain this in your memory the next time you decide to choose her over me. And like the way that she's saying it in the game is like, she's not even looking down at where your character's head is. She's looking through. So she's kind of looking at you, the player, about your decision. So you're kind of like, fuck. And yeah, chops off the dude's Johnson. So I'm like, okay,
he never has to chop off the Johnson.
Got a Lorena Bobbitt his ass to teach him a lesson. I'm sure she kills him, too, but they don't allude to that in her ending. But anyway, so I magically went through time and said, all right, let me try this the other way. Because you know what? There's got to be a happy ending somewhere, right? Right?
Right? No.
No. So anyway, I reversed back because, you know, it's always good to have multiple saves when you have a game that highly relies on your choices. And so I chose to give it to the tomboy, even though I had been hitting up sweet voiced blue-haired angel girl the whole time, which I knew was going to cause problems. Give it to her, and she's all like, I don't like cute things, but you gave it to me, so I should be fine with that, like, whatever. And all of a sudden, screen goes black, the red flashes happen, and another, like, blurred girl shows up, and she's all like, but Cinderella always gets her happy ending, though, right? And I'm like, fuck. I'm like, now she's going to go, and she's going to do something, she's going to put the other girl in a box now, or whatever.
Don't put the girls in a box. No.
No.
Don't put the girls in a box.
Don't worry.
No.
She doesn't.
Uh-oh.
But then it cuts to another scene, because like I said, this is Hinata, was the one who went to Tokyo and came back. And it does this weird, it goes back in time to when she's in Tokyo, and she's like, I hate it here. I want to go back home, because Yotaro's there, and my fucking parents brought me here, and I'm going to go back no matter what. And then you hear the opening of a drawer, and then it cuts out. So I'm like, holy shit, bitch killed her parents. Bitch killed her parents and went back to this town for this boy that she hadn't even gotten up on because she that crazy. Fourth day rolls up. I bring my honey Hinoka, the tomboy, up to my room, getting on with the makey-outy, taking off the clothes. The minute I get her skirt off, I get knocked out. So I didn't even get her all the way down to her panties and bra like Hinata, which was kind of sad. Because I thought it should be even distribute, you know, between the girls. And when I come to, there's Hinata. This is the girl with the blue hair and the sweet, sweet, innocent angel kind of face. And
mm-hmm.
You've been asleep this whole time. And we were supposed to be at the tea shop like 20 minutes ago. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. Because we're dating now. And like, I'm kind of out of it. And I don't understand what I'm saying. And I'm like, oh, well, let me get up. And my character goes to get up. And behind her, she has literally crucified Hinoka, like Jesus, and has literally cut out digs of her flesh and has, like, slit her throat out. And, like, she's just bleeding in my living room, which I'm clearly, my parents would not understand.
No, not in the least.
What just happened. But then I'm sitting there and thinking, I'm like, what if, even though they don't really show this in the game, because, yeah, oh, my parents left. They went somewhere. What if these girls took out your parents, too? You know, no witnesses.
Not cool. Yeah, not cool.
But probably happened, because there's no way that either of these girls would get away with brutalizing the other one and or cutting her up and putting her in a box and just leaving her in the house. Not going to happen. But anyway, so with the lovely Angel Hinata, she's all like, well, she's like, she was competition and she was in my way. But now that's done because I've handled it. And now we can go on with our lives unless you're going to run. Because you're not tied up in her scenario. So they give you the option to sit there or run. And I'm like, oh, fuck no. And I ran. Word of advice, guys, don't run.
That was dumb. I could have told you right then and there.
Well, I had to play it out because there's no way. Because I stay there and, like, I make out with her with my dead girlfriend's body, like, bleeding into my living room couch. Or I go to get effing help. Like,
and you don't make it because she crucified someone in your living room.
True. So, anyway, Yotaro goes running because, you know, he thinks he's a guy and he's got more muscle and whatever. He can outrun her. And he's running. And she's, like, always behind, but, you know, like, he's struggling to breathe because he's, like, sprinting and she's, like, just jogging. By the way, she's carrying, like, a fucking katana with her that she obviously used to, like, pretty much mutilate Hinoka. Mm-hmm. And she runs you into the woods, which, don't ever go to the woods, guys. It's secluded there. No one will hear you when you get murdered there.
The safe place to run is not into the woods.
Go into the stritty city streets, calling out this name and telling everyone that she batshit crazy.
Go to the 7-Eleven.
You make sure you're on every CVC.
A church.
You put your face everywhere before she takes you out, okay? But anyway, so she ends up luring me into the forest, and I, horror story, trip over a piece of wood. But because I'm so exhausted, I cannot get up. And she begins to tell me how it's all my fault because I should have given her the toy because she had initially even asked for it. And how could I choose her over her when I made the promise to her in the first place? But it's okay because she's going to make it so that I can't run anymore. And she chops off my feet. And then she's like, you know, I've actually even heard that you don't need your limbs to live. So I could cut off your arms too. And then I'll do everything for you. And then she
proceeds. Because you ran.
Because I ran. And she chopped off, she tries to chop off my arms and she happens to like hit the bone. And she's like, I don't know why I didn't just go all the way straight through. Oh, wait, I hit bone. That's what it, and she's joking about it as she's, you know, chopping your limbs off, you know, and you're just like, I'm like, damn, I really should have just let the crazy bitch win. Because I would have probably lived a little bit longer. Yep. And I probably still would have got some, which is apparently what this guy's objective had always been from day one was to get it in. So, like, shouldn't matter who at this point. But anyway, so she ends up pretty much cutting off all your limbs. You're bleeding out in the forest. And she's just like, you know, you could just redo this the right way. In fact, die and do it all over again. And then she chops your head off. And that's how the ending goes. So, like, moral of the story, gentlemen, is if you are friends with two girls,
stay in the friend zone. Just stay in the friend zone.
And the funny thing is the bad end, because there were three endings to this game, and both of those brutal endings were the true endings, depending on your path. The third one is that you keep the bunny for yourself, and it's considered the bad end because neither of them go yandere, and everybody lives happily ever after. And I was like, why is this the bad ending?
Nope,
like,
that's the good one. That's the good one.
We're all keep alive.
Keep the bunny.
And the funny thing was, is the guy's like, your character's like, this is the safe way so that there's no fighting. Even if I have to stay single for the rest of my life. I'm like, you are not God's gift to these women. I'm like, all you need to do is finish high school, go to a college far away, change your name, burn your fingerprints off, and then get married. That's all you gotta do.
Your fingerprints. Just keep the bunny, go to college, you'll have plenty of opportunities to get it in.
Never dip into your friend's ink, because then they'll go yandere on you and chop your penis off or cut all your limbs off.
Which is, you know, either way you slice it, you've lost use of your penis. So just don't.
Either way, you're going to lose. But anyway, I mean, it was from an RPG maker, so it's got all the little sprites and everything looks so cute and innocent until, you know, murder happens. And when people start losing their shit. It was absolutely fun. I mean, the story was so
doesn't sound fun to me.
It was though. Like, oh yay, we're at a cafe. We're all having coffee and remembering our like childhood days. Like, it was all innocent up until the fourth day. So it kind of has that school days vibe to it, where you're like, shit, you know something's going down. But granted, in school days, the dude in that did get another girl pregnant. And then he did leave his girlfriend to go be a supportive father to the baby. So it's not like he was choosing the other girl because he loved her. He was choosing her out of, you know, responsibility. And it's just too bad that yandere's do not have the fucking common sense to go, you know what? If I can't have him, no one can. Let me go lop off his head right quick. Let me go kill this bitch and this unborn baby. And then take all the heads in a duffel bag.
Wait, that they don't have the sense to do that?
That they don't have the sense to just stop. Like,
yeah, you forgot that part of the sentence. Oh,
sorry. They don't have this common sense to go, you know what? Let it go. Let
yeah.
me get therapy. Let me do some healing. Let me let him be responsible.
This is not the only dick on the planet. There are other ones.
Yeah. So, but I mean, this game, Yandarella, it was cute. And you clearly know
by the name. It doesn't sound cute at all.
You clearly know by the title Yandarella that somebody's going to go crazy and someone's getting murdered. If not one, many. Because that's kind of how yandere's roll. But anyway. Now going to Yandere's simulator a little bit. It's a little bit more carefree because, like I said, it's really more of a playable, kind of get an idea of the setting without really a plot or a goal. Okay. Though they're slowly implementing all these things that you can do. So clearly you are this girl. I think they're going to give you the chance to name her, but they don't in this. She's just called Yandere-chan, which is a clear giveaway that something's wrong with her.
Right.
And she is madly in love with Senpai, who we don't know what his name is, so I'm just going to call him Tom. She is so in love with Tom that every time she's anywhere near Tom, like, the screen gets all pink and she gets all shy and, like, if you run away from him, like, because you're so shy, he actually comments on what's wrong with you, and that affects your mental state. Because
because anytime someone asks what's wrong with you, it does, in fact, affect your mental state.
It does. It's like, why do you think something's wrong? But
exactly.
In the lower corner, you have, like, your heart rate, which when you're normal, it's beating perfectly fine, but whenever you're near a senpai, it kind of starts fluttering a bit, and then when you kind of get psychotic, it kind of gets really red and sporadic. The great thing about what they're doing in the game is, you know, the whole point is you want senpai to notice you, but you know senpai is probably noticing everybody else but you. So the best thing to do in the situation is get rid of everybody but you.
No, focus on a different senpai.
But apparently in this game, like, senpai is your ish and everyone else is just an obstacle.
But there's so many things in the world to be your ish, though. You don't have to.
I mean, you even have a shrine. You have a shrine senpai. He threw out a toothbrush that you climbed through the trash to get, and you used to brush your mouth.
No.
A day that fell off of his finger, and you like to sniff his sweet, sweet blood every night before you go to bed.
No.
Apple that he bit, but he didn't like it, so he threw it away, and you kept it, and you literally put your teeth into his teeth marks because you think it's super fine.
Ew.
I shit you not.
Ew.
But anyway, at the start of each of your days, you have to, you know, change to go to school, and your panties help you by giving you stats and buffs depending on what you're trying to do.
Because that's what panties do.
That's what panties do. They're your upgrade panties. And some of them let you run faster. Some of them allow you to, like, stealth kill faster. Some of them allow you better bluffing skills, so if someone catches you...
Are they solid snake panties? Like,
yeah, kind of, sort of. When you walk into the school building in the one corner, because like I said, this is still a beta, nothing else has been fully fleshed out, but there's a couple of weapons, like syringes, scissors, and a katana, and like a gun, and you could hold them, but some, as soon as you touch them, you're visibly armed, so people can see that you have a weapon. So, I mean, if you're trying to do this on the DL without getting caught, it's probably best to have a smaller weapon like a scissor or a syringe or like a knife or something like that. On the other side of the gate is an incinerator, which I always thought those were inside buildings, not outside.
Incinerators can be either or. It depends.
Well, there's one on the outside, and conveniently next to that is a mop and a bucket with water.
You know, for convenience.
For convenience. You know, and if, at the beginning, you just kind of walked around and stabbed girls, and now you can kind of conversate with them, and you can actually abduct them to your murder basement where you can torture them which I don't know. If I
were why do you get to have all the fun?
Right, right. Like, why only have fun when you're at school? Why not take it home? Right now, Senpai walks around now, because before he would just kind of hang by a tree. And on an opposite tree was this one girl who never moved or said anything. And I think she's actually going to be the rival for you, because now they've implemented a week, a schedule, and you, and D-Day is Friday. So either you're confessing to Senpai on that day, or you need to get rid of all the bitches by Friday so that Senpai will notice you. But the funny thing is, through the playthrough that I played, because I did also kind of download this and put this on my boyfriend's computer, and he doesn't know that. When I played it, I, for one, didn't kill all the girls. I just killed girls who walked by Senpai, because I thought one of them was the rival. So I was like, oh no, I'm like, I can't have this. So I would talk to her and compliment her and say, hey, I saw this cool thing around the corner. You should come with me. And then I would stab her in the throat and then drag her to the incinerator and burn her ass. Then go take the mop and clean up the blood trail, because there's a blood trail every time you stab somebody, because, you know, blood be happening.
Right.
I clean that up. Oh, no, I'm a little insane because I did just kill somebody and incinerate her body. I better change to some clean clothes so no one saw that I did that. Oh, wait, I want to torture someone at my house. Let me go get some stuff from the nurse's office right quick. Let me lure this bitch to this trunk in the gym so I can just knock her out and not kill her yet, and then bring her home and torture her for touching Senpai's locker, because fuck that bitch. Don't touch him. He's mine. Panda. And, like,
I think you need to stay away from Yandere again.
I'm a little concerned.
I'm a lot concerned.
Because, like, there's so many things you can do. Like, there's some interesting fun stuff that the creator of that game is doing. Like, there's a
fun stuff. Uh-huh.
There's an Attack on Titan mod where literally all the girls all of a sudden have become giant titans and they just kind of walk around and you have to somehow stab their necks to get them to die. Because that's what you have to do with titans in Attack on Titan. Is you have to, like, slash out the back of their throat and stuff. And, like, it's, I think the game is going to be a underground hit in the anime scene a little bit. It was an interesting experience. I mean, I did get very possessive when I was playing it of Senpai. Like, I didn't want people talking to him. And, like, oh,
this is why I have concerns.
That girl had bigger boobs than me. I better get them out of the picture before. I hope Senpai likes butts, because I've got a butt. But I ain't got boobs like that, so I just got to remove that right quick. Like, no offense to you, this is straightly business. Business.
It's not business. It's not.
It's fucked up.
Of all the things it is, it's not business.
It's so fucked up, but I, you know, in reality, I would never. I don't even like to hold butter. I don't even like to use butter knives to butter my bread, let alone the idea of bringing a knife to anybody. It's just something way outside of my personality. And if there's somebody out there who strongly has some feels for somebody, heed my advice.
Find a different dick.
Not even that. Meet up with this boo, this potential boo, and lay it all out there. Tell them the truth. Tell them how much you love them. Because either one or two things will happen. One, they'll really be into it. And then you get what you want. No murder involved. None of that. Or B, they say no, you kill them, and then you go to prison. And then you'll meet a new senpai in prison. And no. Then you'll kill, and then you'll probably kill murderers and robbers and stuff. That's not how it works.
It could potentially happen that way.
I don't know too many guys or women who are like, oh man, I'm all about someone who would murder for me. I mean, unless you were in, like, the mafia. Or, like, the KGB, maybe.
Nope. But, just that.
You know, but every day...
Life is not an episode of Archer, okay?
I'm saying, it's not... Life ain't like that. People get rejected all the time. I've been rejected. Have I murdered anybody? No.
Nope. You go, you drink some tequila, you say they fucking suck, you move on.
Sit there, you get a nice little notebook, you write some hate poetry, you cry, you read some Hunter S. Thompson, you wear some weird clothes for a while... You give zero fucks about stuff, and then
you watch a couple of Pixar movies, and then life is fine.
Life is good. And then you're good. And by the time you've done that, someone's like, hey, you're reading Hunter S. Thompson, and then you're in love again. Maybe take your time on that one, though. Slow. Slow and steady wins the race. And gets people not murdered. But if you're looking for something interesting that's going to make you question people, then you can play either of these games. You can find them on Steam and GOG. You can find them on GOG, too, which is good old games. And they're free. So if you have a computer that doesn't belong to a boyfriend and who doesn't know that you're downloading your computer, you could totally.
You don't have to whisper.
But I enjoyed the experience, and it's just an experience for my gaming. It's not an experience for IRL.
Right.
It's just not.
Because murder is wrong.
Murder is wrong.
We've talked about that.
Yes.
So we're all aware.
Just don't touch my senpai. For real though, if I ever started getting really obsessive about something or someone, just remind me about this podcast so that I can pull myself out of it, because, you know, I don't need to be going down for stuff like that over silly stuff like murder.
Correct. Because as I keep saying, there are other dicks out there. Just move on.
There are plenty dicks in the sea.
There's so many.
There's so many. You can
find another one.
Such It'll dick. Wow.
Much dick. So
but
many.
But that's what I've been playing.
Well, okay. Well, I guess what I will end on then is just a quick hit. One thing that I love doing, because I cut the cord with cable over a year ago, like two or three. So I watch a lot of YouTube, Netflix, Hulu, streaming media of all different kinds. One thing that I love watching on YouTube is the Try Guys series from BuzzFeed. Not a surprise. I'm a BuzzFeed fan. I enjoy many, many of the videos that they put together. Their food porn stuff is also amazing. But the Try Guys are my favorite. If you're not familiar, get familiar. It's a bunch of staffers at BuzzFeed that all guys, that they basically get to try various different things. Some that are uncomfortable, some that are a little difficult, but most of them are outside of at least one, if not all, of the guys in the group's comfort ranges. And so they get to experience things that they haven't experienced before, and so you get to vicariously experience these things through these guys. And they're four very, very different guys. One is single as fuck, as he likes to refer to himself.
He's the little cute one, right?
Yeah. One is married as fuck,
loves his wife. In every episode, he's like, I was going to call my wife later, though.
Yeah, I can't hang out, guys, because I'm doing stuff with my wife. I love that. Then you've got one guy who's dating, who is also the tall, I wouldn't say lanky, but definitely the big guy of the group. Also the humorist of the group. And then you have the sexy as fuck guy.
Hell yeah.
Who's Asian. And
Eugene.
Yeah. So you have all different types, all different body types. And they've done all different kinds of things. But they just did a 4-episode arc that I think is really cool, because it was all about trying cosplay for the first time. So the group got together, they worked on their own costumes, and over the course of the 4 episodes, you see them go through first experiencing some of the popular, I would say probably founding fathers in the breakthrough of anime into the Western culture. So they watch some Dragon Ball, they watch some Sailor Moon, they watch some Voltron, like the classic guys, because they first need to figure out how to do and what they want to do for their costumes, how to make it theirs. They end up going to Anime Expo.
Okay.
At the Los Angeles Convention Center. So it's a really interesting arc to watch some people who are obviously not, one, big into anime, first discover anime and what it really is, and then find, you know, people have different reactions to some of these quick hits. Then they go through the process of making their own costumes. They end up being part of the masquerade. They have no idea what the masquerade is. Not only do they do a skit, but they're also hosts. So it's very interesting to watch these very four different guys go through this very, very big anime experience and to see the reactions to the con and the people that go to the con and all kinds of stuff. It's just, it was so humbling. It's one of the more positive looks for people who are not within the community on cosplay that I've seen in a while. Like, the guys are really taken aback by how creative people are with their costumes. You can see that they're actually really in awe of some people's creativity with the skits and things. They get into it and have a lot of fun. And so it goes from being a very jokey thing to them in the beginning to something that they really have a lot of fun with. And they ended up doing, like, an extra bonus thing where Eugene and the tall guy stuck around. Yes, Keith stuck around for another day because I didn't get to stay for the whole thing. And when they finished their masquerade, like, two of the guys were like, I'm really bummed that I didn't get to stay for the whole thing. I think, like, next year I'm going to come back myself and, like, see. And they're like, hey, and there'll probably be all new people here, so they won't know that our costumes aren't new, so we could just keep the costumes that we have. Like, it was really funny. But Keith and Eugene stay an extra day, and they participate in a maid and butler cafe thing going on and different fashion styles and stuff. And you can see that they're just having a really good time. And so I highly recommend, especially if you're not big on anime and the culture and things like that, if you'd like a kind of fun, poking fun at, but also appreciating all that goes into it, look at cosplay, especially if you're curious about it. I think that this is a better way to just kind of jump in real quick and easy to what is cosplay and how big is it and is it really a thing? Yes, it is. Looking at the Try Guys series versus doing something like looking at the cosplay competition thing that was streamed for a while and that kind of thing. So definitely check it out. Plus, you basically get to see the dudes as Sailor Senshi because they end up doing Sailor Moon, but their spin on it is they make the Senshi kick-ass rock stars. So it's like glam rock.
Ooh, dude, so like sailors. Gem and the Holograms meet Sailor Moon.
Yeah, kind of. And they write a whole song, and
you had me at Try Guys cosplay.
And so the chorus is, we're pretty guardians. We're Sailor Guardians. We're pretty guardians. And you're just like, yeah. Yeah, you are.
Oh, my God.
And the married one is Venus. I'm just going to throw it out there.
I'm very surprised that they didn't go the Sailor Lads route, because there have been a lot of
people. It would have been easy, but again, you know, the thing about cosplay is finding the characters that you align with the most and then making it yours.
So if Ned is Venus,
yep.
Who was Moon? Is
that so Eugene? They did not do Moon, because remember, there's only four Try Guys.
Right.
So they were the Guardians, and they were
Mars, Mercury, Venus, and Jupiter then.
Correct.
Okay. So was Eugene Mars?
Eugene was Mars.
Yes! Oh, yes. Of course he is.
Keith is Jupiter.
Yep, because he's tall. That makes sense. Aw, and so that made the little one
Mercury.
Mercury.
And he had, like, a little bubble gun. It was really cute.
Oh, my God. I have to watch this, like, now. Oh, yeah.
You have to watch.
Like, now. Right now.
It's really good. I highly recommend it.
Anyway.
So that's what I have for this week. Hope you enjoyed the cast. If you did, make sure that you hit up our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. That's where you'll find all the stuff that we're writing about, as well as the podcast every week when we put it out. Please, please, please add it to your bookmarks, save the RSS feed, do what you need to do, but hit up the site because that's where you'll find all of our newness every day, every week, you know, until the world ends, basically, because we're still having fun doing this, you know, 10 years in. So we ain't going to stop. Crap. Can't stop. Won't stop. It's been a decade. What? So we got that. Well, just about a decade.
Close.
I'm rounding up. So make sure that you do that. Also, if you want the podcast, subscribe. Make sure that you get it the moment we put it out on the internet. You can do that in iTunes, either on the desktop application or on your smart device using the podcast application on iTunes, the Stitcher application on whatever you're using, because Stitcher's got an app every place. And you can use pretty much any podcast search engine out there to find our podcast and subscribe. So make sure that you do, and you'll catch those brand new episodes when we put it out. If you're listening to us, then you definitely want to check out the other shows that are featured in our network of shows. That includes No Borders, No Race, which is hosted by our homie KBD, which you'll find over at b3crew.com. aka BostonBassBrigade.com. Make sure that you hit up that show, because if you like any and everything indie, then you're going to love No Borders, No Race. If you need beats for your feet, even though he's on hiatus right now, definitely make sure to check out some of the things from the archive at geekagro.com. Trap, EDM, house, great, great mixes all put together over there. And then on Thursdays, if you've got issues,
he's got issues,
y'all can have issues
together.
The Issues Guy Issues Program, call in live, at least for now, because soon a transition will happen and it will be amazing. So, if you like shows like Walking Dead, Game of Thrones, you love recap shows, you're going to love what's going on at issuesprogram.com. So, make sure you hit that up. And then, of course, new to the network, the Structure Network. So many great, talented people coming together over there. Make sure that you check them out, including the Sensational Cast, which I appear on every so often. If you love wrestling and movies, music, punk rock, if you love any and everything in the nerdosphere, then definitely check out thestructurenetwork.com. With that, this is the time when I turn to my sister and I say, "Ayo, sis.
Yo.
What shit you digging this week?
Senpai.
Am I gonna have to take the internet away from you?
No.
I feel like I will have to.
Don't. What shit are you digging this week?
I am actually digging just the internet in general, because man, oh man, there's been a... You need to stop. You need to stop right now, or I'm going to do an intervention, because you're freaking mine. Me out.
Senpai's mine, and only mine. I don't share.
And with that, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Until next week, guys.
Bye, everybody.